You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Rodo Experts in the Morning underway. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy executive King Wall Street all in the house this morning. And it is time to talk about you, King. Talk about the King's draft. And whether you saw the King draft, you shouldn't be surprised because you probably read his Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Rankings, which are available now inside the Exclusive Edge package. Use Susmania when you check out for a discount. And you can check out Scotty's updated PPR and Standard League ranks, player by player. You could also read his guide for the first round. And coming shortly, I may be wrong, but
fearless predictions.
Fearless predictions. Yes. You promised me it could be done last week. It wasn't done last week. When can I expect these?
This week.
Is that a promise?
Yes.
It's a promise. Okay.
Yes. I would never break a promise to Greg Sussman.
I appreciate that. I told you it's my favorite article.
Yes.
Okay, so that means this week you'll get Scotty's fearless predictions, and some of them, as you'll see, because I have last year's predictions in tow, some of them turn out to be very, very correct. So I'm looking forward to doing that with you, Scotty, when you post those. So
yeah, it'd be fun to go over last year's.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, Scotty, you drafted 8th. In the first round. You are always somebody, and you can, by the way, I'll tweet a link out in a moment so you can follow along with us, or maybe Scotty can as well. You drafted 8th in the first round. You always say that ultimately you don't care where you draft. However, you know, I'm sure you like the draft in a particular spot, depending on the year. How do you feel about drafting 8th? I know it's Matty Moe's favorite spot in the draft at this point. How do you feel about drafting 8th in this year's draft?
I'm fine. You know, I can find positive and negative with every selection.
Perfect.
But I like it. No, it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, I'm okay with it, you know, because I get to come back pretty quickly on the turn. I really don't have a feeling about it. It's just like, okay, that's where I am. You know, and you know, let's just see who falls to me. That's honestly how I feel.
So in the first round of the draft, I'm going to skip them and go through this quickly because it was an easy one. You had Mike Evans fall to you at 8, pretty much a no-brainer, so we move on. We move on to the second round where I think it does become at least a question mark. Now, in this league that Scotty participated in over this past weekend, it was a non-PPR league, or what used to be called a standard league.
Yeah.
And you have consistently said you have a top 7, top 8?
Top 8 running backs. 7 of them I feel just completely comfortable with.
Is Jay Ajayi in that top 8?
No, he's right. He's that marker right between the top tier and the next tier. It's almost like he's on his own. He's still an RB1 to me, but the RB1 that I feel least comfortable with. But I felt like I had to take him because he was the last RB1 left on the board.
Well, that's according to you, but you said you have a top 8 of RB1.
Yes, but I'm
that.
Saying the top 7, I just feel like a cut above Ajayi a little bit. I feel a little safer with him than I do
with
Ajayi.
This is what we got. I want to get into this when we come back.
What would you like to get into when you come back so I can tease it?
Oh, okay. If that wasn't your guy, you should have took a different. You should.
He was
took
my
a
top
position.
Guy on the board.
Corey's not satisfied.
Well, Corey doesn't like Ajayi.
When we come back, Scott will explain himself. Corey will get into it as well. We got, 16 rounds of Scott to talk about, including a kicker and a non-kicker league. Rodo Experts in the Morning continues on right after this.
You said that already.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Round drafted for Scotty. He has consistently set up this program. He's got 8 first round picks, really 7 running backs that he really likes. Well, all 8 are off the board at Scotty's pick in the second round.
No, so, all Ajayi was the last one.
Right, but Ajayi is the... I'm very confused then.
It was seven last week.
So now it's
no, it was... No, you guys are confused with okay. what I said. I said I had nine guys who were RB1s, and then obviously what happened with Ezekiel happened. But I said there were like seven that I completely feel comfortable with that I have no question marks in my head about.
Okay.
But I still believe Ajayi...
So all seven of those are off the board then?
All seven are off the board, okay. But I still feel like Ajayi is an RB1. I just feel like the other guys are more proven than Ajayi in that role.
Okay, so all seven are off the board then.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so it's funny to me then, Scotty, going back to the previous conversation we had, that you're saying, oh, I love this spot, the eight spot's great. Every guy you wanted was gone.
No, I didn't say I love this spot, the eight spot's great.
Well,
the second day in a row,
you're
telling me I love it. It's like, I don't. I've said...
So I asked you what spot you like better, and you wouldn't answer the question.
I said, it's where I am. I don't have feelings about it either way. Let's go and draft.
Okay, so this weekend you draft, what, third or fourth?
Yeah.
Would you, do you like drafting there better or the eighth spot better?
I like drafting third better, yes.
Oh, okay.
But
that's
I'm saying
I'm
at eighth, I don't have any feelings about it. You know, I'm not excited about it. I'm not disappointed about it.
Well, I'm just trying to find out where you prefer to be. Like, I'm glad.
I would prefer to be in the top two,
okay.
So I can get David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell.
Oh,
but
that's fine.
You know what? I don't worry about the things in fantasy I can't control. Mm. So if I'm at eight, I'm at eight.
Well, I understand that, but like, I'm glad you gave me the first.
You know what? I'd rather be at 12.
Like, I don't want to be
because
oh,
I want
to.
I want to be the first guy to get the second player.
That's great. Yeah. That's literally what I was asking. Yeah. So now I'm glad we got the answer.
But there's no spot within the draft. I guess I didn't make it clear enough. I'm sorry. There's no spot within the draft where I'm going to go, oh, damn, I'm there. You know, it is what it is.
Fine. All right, second round pick. The seven RB1s that you like the most are gone. So you're on this little seesaw, basically, where the next guy who's kind of at the next tier, and is tier by yourself, is what you said, is Jay Ajayi for your running backs. And you wound up taking him in the second round. Corey, you had an issue here.
Yeah, because last week you said you would take the better player on the board. I know you want to have... See, I think this is a position scarcity pick right here. So like this is like, I got to get a running back right here. I don't think you should have left dudes like Amari Cooper, Doug Baldwin, the wide receiver, Brandon Cooks. You know, those wide receivers, I think, would have been the best.
I considered one of those guys.
I think those wide receivers would have been better plays in this round, in my opinion, because now you don't know this on draft day. You were able to get Mixon in the third round. So if you knew that Mixon was going to be there in three, would you have took a giant two?
I still might have done it.
Okay.
Look, you look at my current ranks on rotoexperts.com. I have Ajayi as the next guy off my board. And it's kind of like, yeah, if you want to look at the position of scarcity, I'm fine with that. Because I feel like wide receiver is deep. I'm going to get a good one coming around the second round. I didn't expect Mixon to be there, Corey. I said,
I'm
probably going to get a wide receiver in the next round, a very good one.
If Mixon was going to be there, I kind of feel like you wouldn't have made the Ajayi pick.
Yeah, but you don't know, so I can't think like that.
Exactly.
In a standard,
it was almost like Donkey Kong in a way. Like when you leap from one thing to another, I felt like I had leapt off the top seven, and I was just like on an island there with one more RB1, and I didn't want to leap down and have Todd Gurley as my RB1 or something like that. I said, this is my last opportunity to get an RB1. Plus, he's my highest rated player left on the board anyway.
Well, here's the thing for me. First off, it's a standard league. Second off, it's an industry league. So, you know, running backs are going to go fast and furious.
Yeah.
So, I think Scott made the right move. If it was me, I would have went with the best running back on my board.
Yeah, and that's what it was. But look, Corey wouldn't have made the Ajayi pick. He doesn't like Ajayi.
Scotty, for the record, I also would have taken Jay Ajayi there.
Yeah.
He's the highest guy on my board as well.
The other guy I was considering, Corey, was Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I took Brandon Cooks there.
Yeah, I know you would have.
That Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks start, you know what I'm saying? Even in a standard, a non-PPR, whatever you want to call it. See, that's going to be touchdowns and that's going to be yards right there. Now, my fingers would have been crossed coming around, but if I came back and Mixon was sitting there, I'd have been like, bam, got it. I'd have started Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks, and Joe Mixon.
I like my running backs a lot.
I'm cool with that.
Instead, you would have came out and said, I like my wide receivers a lot. So either way, would
have
been good.
I'd have figured out the running back thing.
Yeah.
I think the thing about getting Mike Evans, I would have wanted Jai, and then, like I said, he getting mixed in there was perfect and worked out.
Yeah, so I have zero problem with what you did in the first two rounds, Scotty, as it worked out for you. And the third round, getting Joe Mixon there, I know it was very tough for you to leave Terrell Pryor on the board because he's your guy, but you did.
I could, you know what I said? I'm probably going to get a pretty good wide receiver. I said, I'll pray a little bit that Pryor will make it back on the swing, but I don't expect him to.
Right.
But I'm still going to get a very good wide receiver coming back. I couldn't pass on Joe Mixon there. You know,
okay.
A lot of people in this, like Corey would say himself, he'd be comfortable with his Mixon as RB1.
Sure.
When I get a guy who has the potential of being RB1, I don't rank him like that yet. He's got to prove it. But Tabman's an RB2. You know, I think this kid is special. I just couldn't pass on him.
So you're very, very comfortable with him. What I found is one pick later was Demaryius Thomas, and that was a Frank Stample. And he went, this is the latest I've seen DT go. Toward the end of the third round, I showed Frank a stat yesterday that might have been Jeff Ratcliffe that tweeted it out. And he gave the red zone looks, I'm sorry, the end zone looks for Demaryius Thomas over the last three years. And it was crazy. 3 years ago, 2014, he had like 23 red zone looks. 2015, 7. 2016, 7. That's not a good look.
That's not a good look, but I really like Frank's team here. Getting Gordon, Murray, and then being able to go Demaryius Thomas and Alshon Jeffrey, especially in this format.
Love the Alshon Jeffrey pick. Love the Alshon Jeffrey pick for my man Frankie. We talked about his draft on the Fantasy Football Best.
He came out of this draft. He started this draft on fire. He was smoking.
Yeah.
This draft right up until that Eddie Lacy pick in the eighth round. He was he was cooking in this draft. Then he goes. Then it's like a. He does a good job in this draft. Put it like that.
He does a good job.
Does an excellent job.
The whole draft.
Well, he got Rolfe the round right after.
He did a good job in this draft.
He got Kenny Galladay.
Yes, he did. In the 13th is where it was just totally reasonable.
Tim Hightower. He took my guy. He's got my
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston. Is this fantasy? Oh no, Frank Stample. Okay. Remind him of that on the BFFs today.
So Scott, I want to
probably be here for that.
I hope so. It's a good show. You should watch. I would bring up your next pick, your second wide receiver, because you took Jamison Crowder, who I know a lot of people are high on, but this is a non-PPR. And for Jamison Crowder, that value certainly goes down in the non-PPR, where a lot of people, I don't want to say inaccurately, but they do point out that he is a PPR-type player. What made you want Jamison Crowder, the 21st player off the board, as your wide receiver too? Because I think in this format, he's more of a wide receiver three.
I think, you know, they'll go to him for big plays. You know, obviously they lost Garcon and Jackson. I think, you know, they can go to him to be a downfield guy. And I think there's going to be at least 7 touchdown receptions there. And I'm okay with that my wide receiver, too.
So you're looking, last year he had 7 touchdowns. One was on our special teams. Majority of his touchdowns are going to come from outside the 20s. And in the red zone, he had 16 targets, 3 touchdowns. I don't think, especially if Doxson's healthy, I don't really think he's a red zone target. Is he a good receiver? Yes. PPR, I really like him a lot. But looking at the options here of who to go with, you're looking at guys that really aren't red zone guys.
Yeah, there are a lot of them. I was going to say that, yeah.
I mean, Stephon Diggs, I like a hell of a lot more than a PPR.
Yeah, this is
I wanted my second wide receiver. He was the best left in a standard. It's you know,
I don't have a problem with it. They take shots.
Watkins got, you know, dealt. You know, there's Golden Tate there. You guys know I'm not a Tyreek Hill fan.
Sure.
I felt like he was the best player left on the board. I wasn't going to go for a third running back there.
And I understand that. It's interesting because for me, I think I have Tate ranked a little bit higher. I think I would have went Tate over Crowder personally. I know you don't like Tate in a non-PPR league.
Did you think of Jimmy Graham?
I think Crowder. I was considering it. But I just didn't feel like the tight end was the right pick for me there.
And I understand that, too. Golden Tate comes to my mind.
I can't on Tate. Just like,
I
feel like Crowder's definitely going to score more touchdowns.
I don't know why you think he's going to score so many more touchdowns than
they use him. They use him. They use him.
He's a big play receiver.
They take shots with him outside.
He could score 7-8 where, you know, one take could be 4-5.
This is how the offense ran last year. When they get on the opposite side of the 50-yard line, they almost always at least once a drive take an end zone shot to Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, no, they took, you know, inside the red zone. You know, he had 16 targets last year. I'm not denying that, but it just didn't convert. I don't think he is such, his touchdowns are so much more guaranteed than Golden Tate, like you said.
Golden Tate, you talk about the red zone, 17 targets in the red zone and one touchdown.
Okay, he had 17 and one.
I think the guy's career high. I think the guy's career high is 6 in touchdowns. So I just don't want Golden Tate in the standard. If we were PPR, it'd be all over it.
Okay, fair enough. Would you like to make a little bet on not PPR? Would you guys do
this
that?
This guy don't like the dance.
I'm not doing bets. We're not in Vegas here. If he's right, I'll just say he's right.
Oh, he's not. Yeah, we're not saying, doing bets.
Well,
we're
just
going
17 to 1, 16 versus 3, so I don't think it's like outrageous.
When we come back, like I said, there were two people I think I would have considered over Jamison Crowder. Golden Tate was one of them, and the other one I will tell you on the other side. But when we come back, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts Morning. Scott, I told you before the break that when you took Crowder and not PPR, I may have went in another direction. Golden Tate was one of those directions, which I think you understood. But, you know, we went your way. That's totally cool. I think the other wide receiver I would have considered is Sammy Watkins there. I know Sammy Watkins is getting pushed down the board with trade to L.A. And I know Saturday it was much more in the forefront of everybody's mind, given that it was the day after the trade. So I understand, again, I understand why you went in a different direction. Those are two guys I think I would have considered as other wide receivers.
You know Scott not going to draft Sammy Watkins. That's not a Scott move right there. Scott's not going to draft a wide receiver with a bad foot, so that wasn't an option.
It depends on where he is in the draft.
He wasn't. You wouldn't have him as a wide receiver too.
No.
Yeah. You see. No. That's not how Scott built his teams.
All right. Speaking of how Scott builds his teams,
put it like this: when he came back in the six, when he took Emmanuel Sanders, if Watkins was there, you'd have took him there, right?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's not skip ahead to Emmanuel Sanders. No worries. You talk about roster construction, how Scott builds his team. In the fifth round of the Expert League draft, Scotty, you talked about waiting on a quarterback. You jumped here. You jumped and took your quarterback in Drew Brees. And, you know, I know you normally, you talk about, we always mention waiting on a quarterback. You don't really consider quarterbacks until, I guess, the fifth round. And here it is, fifth round. You took Drew Brees here. Why?
I wanted Jimmy Graham, but he didn't fall to me. And once he went off the board, and then Greg Olsen went off the board, I didn't really like any of the wide receivers or the running backs there. It's like I wasn't going to go Willie Snead or Jarvis Landry, you know, in a standard. I don't want Spencer Ware. No, because, you know, would Larry catch 6 touchdowns this year and, like, last year and, like, you know, it was under 10 yards per catch last year. So I couldn't quite do it. He's a name that popped up in my mind, and then I kind of squashed it back down. And I said, you know what? I said, there are 3 quarterbacks that are just a cut above the rest, and one of them is there. And, you know, I was originally thinking to wait on a quarterback, but I went the other direction, and I said, you know what? Getting Breeze, I know we talk about how relatively, like, quarterback, you know, from week to week, there's not much difference between the guys, but to get a super elite guy like that, I said, I don't like what's available at the other position, so I'm going to go Breeze.
The round before, when we talked about Jamison Crowder, Aaron Rodgers was still on the board. Did you consider A-Rodge there?
No, I didn't, because I didn't think I was going to go quarterback that early. I saw that, like, maybe the last 2 wide receivers, that I would really consider, who I was comfortable with as my wide receiver too. Well, maybe the last wide receiver was Jamison Crowder, because, you know, then I would have ended up with Ty. I wouldn't ended up like, I don't like where we came around. It was already starting to go where I'd have to consider the Tates and the Landrys and a standard. And I said, you know, I can't do the quarterback just yet.
Are there, have you guys taken Aaron Rodgers where Scott was in the fourth?
No, I don't draft quarterback early.
Especially Matt, you do sometimes.
Yeah, I do. The 4-point passion, that's what I don't understand. It's like we have to change that. I hear Jake's been yelling about kickers for years. It's the quarterback situation in fantasy. Why should it be changed?
The 4-point.
You shouldn't have to wait. You shouldn't be allowed to just wait on quarterbacks. You know, it shouldn't be PPR leagues where Matthew Stafford isn't drafted in the 16 rounds. That's the way I look at it.
I think the Superflex fixes that, not raising the price, not raising the amount of points the quarterback scores. See, it's not fair because the quarterback touched the ball too much.
Every play.
Yeah, he touches the ball every play, so he's going to score the most points.
It's the most important position in the game, though. You shouldn't have to be able to just take it in the 13th round, you know, 14th round.
That's the winning strategy right there.
I don't know about necessarily that's the winning strategy.
Matt Ryan and Cam Newton in back-to-back years. That's the proof right there.
You got Matt Ryan. Not everybody got Matt Ryan.
He was on the waiver wire in week one of leagues last year. In 2015, Cam Newton was on the waiver wire. That's the winning strategy in fantasy football. It's finding value late at the quarterback position.
That's the winning fantasy in fantasy baseball as well. But you have to get that. You have to be the one that gets that guy off the waiver wire. You're playing with 11 other sharks. It's going to be. You're not the only guy that's thinking. Oh, okay, he's out there.
But I'm Jaws. Feel what I'm saying? When I'm in the 12 team league, I'm Jaws. I'm not worried about the 11 other sharks. I'm gonna find that dude. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking at the board. I'm looking at this board right here in 16 rounds. I don't see. You know, I mean, look at some of the quarterbacks that went later on in the draft. I would never draft, I don't like Carson Palmer. But look, you got Rivers, Phil Rivers, it's quarterback 17 around 15. Cam Newton, quarterback 13 around 13. I'm not the biggest Cam guy this year.
I think that's broken. To me, that's broken.
Andy Dalton, quarterback 15 around 14. Come on now, Andy Dalton, what if the Bengals win that division? Andy Dalton could have a 4,000-yard, 30-touchdown pass season. And he's free in these drafts.
There's two ways to look at it. There's two ways to look at it. I don't have a problem with six or with four, but I see where Matt comes from because he comes really from that background of playing in the NFFC too, where, you know, he's used to playing six. But if you change that in the mainstream too, you get people who play fantasy football for the first time and take a quarterback in the first round. They're not learning the difference between. That the quarterback is not the most important position in fantasy. I'm fine with four. I'm fine with six. To change it, yeah, I guess, you know, make a nice poll. You know what I'm saying?
Matt, let me ask you, because I'm a little confused by it. So you want it from four to six, but obviously every quarterback is now at six, right? So how would that change the dynamic?
There's going to be more points. I also believe that there should be a point total. It should be equal component to the head-to-head.
Sure.
Like, somebody wins the head-to-head, somebody wins the points. Agreed. Total. Those are your top two guys.
I agree.
Those are the top two finishers.
Right.
You know, because having the most points is pretty much, you pretty much have
the best team.
Mm-hmm. I'm just to be honest.
Okay.
You kind of get lucky and,
the
other way around. I just think the quarterback should, for me, if it's the most valuable position in the sport, it should, and I get it, the super flex, or the two quarterback leagues, those do rectify it.
Yes.
But I'm talking for the mainstream. I just think somehow, some way, it needs to be weighted heavier. That's just the way I feel. Man, you guys can feel differently. I'm fine with that. I don't agree with everything everybody else says. But for me, it's like, you know, if we started in, like, baseball, if you started taking things away and weighing other things less, you know, you start cheapening it. I just don't get it.
I've kind of heard this before over the years, and it's guys like Maddie who are really experienced in playing these, like, very intense league. The unfortunate thing when you say that, though, and I've seen it before, is the mainstream player's probably never going to buy into these kind of things. Like, when you talk about the total points versus the head-to-head. I'm not saying I'm against anything that you say, Matt. I'm just saying...
No, I'm not saying you are. But don't you think the mainstream player is the one who's going to draft the quarterback?
Here's what I think ultimately the mainstream player will think, and I've heard these kind of things before from, you know, very experienced veteran players like you, is that they like fantasy football the way it is. They're used to the way it is, and they don't want to change it. And I don't think the mainstream is ever going to change. But when we're more experienced players, we get creative. And that's why we end up with Superflex and things like that, because we're more of the hardcore player.
I got you. So my counterpoint is just this. When, like, I see it in tout wars in baseball where they use OBP and it's kind of like irrelevant because the majority uses average and it kind of skews everything there. It's like if the goal in the expert is just to just wait on quarterback, but meanwhile, I'm assuming in the mainstream, you know, Yahoo, ESPN, CBS leagues, quarterbacks go much higher. So it's like,
yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but with the tout wars thing, it's like with fantasy baseball, like the mainstream is a lot different than fantasy football. It's like
I think labor's a lot more relevant than tout wars.
That's not even where I'm going with it. What I'm saying is when you talk fantasy baseball, the average person that plays fantasy baseball is much more than tense. You know,
okay,
on
the football.
So. Yeah, just, on the football, you know, it's just a guy who plays in his office league or whatever. I'm not saying I agree with this, disagreeing with you. I just don't ever see it sticking.
Ultimately, I know what you're both saying. I do. And Matt, you're right. The mainstream player is the one that's going to take Aaron Rodgers long before any of us would. And it's funny because I sit here. As it goes, Rob Gronkowski, who Corey commonly refers to, the person that thinks Gronk is the mouse in the house. And I feel the same way. There's going to be somebody in that second and third round in my league that do take Aaron Rodgers, that does take Rob Gronkowski. And it's funny because I'm wondering, I know we always talk a lot, clearly, about waiting and waiting, especially Corey. You know, you can get Jameis Winston much later, or Kirk Cousins, or Matthew Stafford's not costing you anything. But Aaron Rodgers just sits there, and I know for Scott, it was in the fourth round. I'm just like, I would have considered it. I would have.
I think you make a point. For me, when the board, like that middle to late third round, especially with Watkins going from Buffalo to St. Louis, I think is a major
hit.
Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Excuse me. It's when the board, it's at the end of the third round, beginning of the fourth round, starts changing for me where I don't love it. That's when I say, you know what? Let me get one of the elite quarterbacks, one of the best in the position that I know year in, year out. Matt Ryan, prior to last year, I'm going to have to look this up. I want to know how many, top eight finishes prior to last season. I want to check that.
Probably at least two, maybe three.
I don't even know if it's that many. That's the mentality I had in the fifth round.
You got to know the game. You got to know the situation. You got to know these systems, these schemes well enough to be able to find these values. I cannot jump up and down the table any more than I'm telling you right now. Matthew Stafford, who's going for free in drafts, is going to finish this season as a top 10 fantasy quarterback, and he's going to be on the waiver wire in mainstream leagues. Period. I can guarantee you that today. Yeah, exactly. I can guarantee you that. He's going to be there. It's no reason to pay up for the quarterback. Take a position player there. You're going to need that depth.
People have labeled him as like less worthy now that Calvin Johnson's retired. I think it's a mistake.
When we come back, we're going to jump around this Flex League draft a little bit. Not just Scotty's team. We'll point out some picks that are interesting to us. And then, our next hour, we get to Matt's draft in the Super Flex. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network back here with you. I wanted to point out some interesting picks that at least, well, I found interesting. And let's get to the eighth round. Let's get to Bob Lung.
Shout out to Bob Lung, big guy in fantasy sports. I'm a Bob Lung fan. I wish I'd have got a chance to see him this weekend.
Bob Lung selected Randall Cobb in the eighth round.
Wide receiver 41.
Yeah, I don't like that because I don't like Randall Cobb.
I don't have a problem with it. Let's look at the roster construction on the team.
Darren McFadden is still there. Terrence West is still there.
Eric Decker, I would have went with
Eric Decker is still there.
Yeah.
I can't do this thing.
I'm just looking at touchdowns. If healthy, he's going to catch a touchdown.
It's not my favorite pick, but I don't think it's terrible. You feel what I'm saying? Okay. But it's not my favorite pick.
Doesn't do it for you. Okay. Fair enough. Well, that was one of the points that was one that looked out to me, Corey. Is the one that, you know, stands out to you as being like, you know what? That's a terrible pick.
Oh, we can just go right to Adam Mays' team and we can just go down the list.
Oh, boy.
Sure. We can go down the list. You know what I'm saying? Adam Mays, said it on the Frenzy yesterday. Adam Mays is clearly the mouse in the house in this draft. Julio Jones, T.Y. Hilton, DeAndre Hopkins. Sounds good, right?
Yeah.
Julio Jones' foot, Andrew Luck's shoulder, Tom Savage, all on the same team.
And you makes no sense. You didn't to get do invited that. To his wedding, right?
No. See, all good players in their own right. If they all hit, he's cooking. But why would you put all three of those risky players on the same team? Now,
how worried are you about Julio's foot?
I'm worried about
he's practicing.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned it. I did move him up today. Yeah. I did move him
they
up.
Also,
did.
The report,
I did move him up.
Also, a very interesting report that, like, they're going to more in the red zone in their workouts.
I did move him up today. So Julio has moved up a couple spots in my rankings. I would probably still be the low man. But, like I said, I just don't. I'm sticking to my gun to Julio Jones. I got to do that for the culture. All right. Julio's foot, Andrew Luck's shoulder, and Tom Savage on the same team. Then you come back in the fourth and take Mike Gillisley as your RB1? That's a terrible pick right there. Then you take Amir Abdullah, Paul Perkins? That's two more zeros on your team.
Zero. I have to agree with Corey in that 6-7 turn. I mean, maybe if I was to take a game on either one of the two, it would be Abdullah. But, I mean, Perkins, I just don't see that guy scoring any touchdowns. Like I said, I'm a fan of Paul Perkins. If he's on a different team, used the proper way.
Hey, speaking of Paul Perkins, man, Orange Darkwa is not going away so quickly. I've said this before.
I don't
say it
get
again.
That infatuation with
it's not going away.
Please,
it's not, it's just
please
not.
Don't do that, Greg.
I'm being honest with you guys.
No, but he's right.
I'm being honest with
blurbs
you.
Blurbs about this guy.
Shane Vereen and might end up being the best running
but
back.
Shane Vereen is the only Giant running back I will be invested in, and that's later on. But he actually went a couple of rounds
I will throw
yesterday.
Something out there. You go to rotoexperts.com. You get Joe Lisi's college football package when you play fantasy or you wager. Joe Lisi said to me that Wayne Gallman's going to end up being the number one guy on that team. He loves Wayne Gallman.
Wayne Gallman!
I'm going to tell you what. Joe Lisi's incorrect.
Joe Lisi's made a lot of predictions out there that's seen out there, and he's hit.
Okay.
Go look at the sales page.
From the church of Joe
Lisi. Go look at the sales page.
I'm just saying.
Look at the sales page?
Yeah.
I need to go look at
all
the
his
page.
Predictions from last year that he hit on.
We probably didn't put the ones he was
all
wrong
I'm
on
saying
the sales
is,
page.
If Wayne Gallman ends up being the number one running back on that team, I'm going to give credit to Joe Lisi for calling. He told me on the phone, he goes, Scott, you tell fantasy players to watch two kids, like, one of them is definitely Wayne Gallman.
In a standard, I would take a shot on Gallman.
You should.
I almost took him in the last round, but my guy was there. I almost took him there, but in the last round, but my guy was there.
It makes no sense to fool with the New York Giants rushing attack.
None. And you're thinking a guy that's going to get zero carries.
Except for PPO.
We don't know he's not going to get zero carries.
I do. You know why? Because I watch the Giants. I read about the
Giants
every day.
I read about the Giants, too.
Scott, you don't read about them like I do, because I don't read about the Seahawks like you do, right? Like, you're going to be telling me the ins and outs of the Seahawks. That's why I look for you.
Like Greg, how many rushing touchdowns did the New York Giants score last season?
Oh my God, the Giants scored four rushing touchdowns.
They scored six rushing touchdowns.
I still can't get over this doll in the studio.
That's as many as like Jameis Winston 2 years ago.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah. It's as many as Dak Prescott.
The point is, I'm going to look to you for any Seahawks insight. I trust you. Talking about Russell Wilson's scheme, they're going back to this, blah, 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 blah. You should trust me when it comes to the Giants. Wayne Gallman is not going to get a single carry.
I disagree with you, and I'll tell you why.
Please, because Joe Lisi said so.
What? That's one reason.
What does that have to do with the Giants? What does him in college have anything to do with what the Giants are doing with Wayne Gallman?
Because Parson he also watches the NFL, too. Yeah.
Come on, Scotty.
Look, Paul Perkins, bum. Orleans Darkwa, super bum. Shane Vereen, not a runner. Opportunity is going to be there for Wayne Gallman.
Opportunity
at some point.
Does not create production.
But you
always.
Know what, though? In the 16th round, right? I was going to take Wayne Gallman, but I couldn't pass on my guy Dwayne Washington. Otherwise, I would have taken Gallman. Where are you going to draft Wayne Gallman
in a
20-round draft? You're not going to draft an old 20 rounds? I will.
Have a nice time. Be the mouse in the house. Boom, crushed it. Scott.
Microphone not on my bet.
Scott, is
there...
There's
a guy that doesn't even sell his rankings.
I'm sure you would like to.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott, put my rankings up at RotoWestrix.com. You'll make more money.
I'm a mouse from a guy that's never won anything at all.
Here we go. Yeah. See, he didn't like you calling him the mouse in the house. Yeah. That
I'm talking about a 16th round draft pick. That makes me a mouse in the house on a 16th round draft pick.
You didn't take him in the 16th, so it would have been a 17th round draft pick.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's where I'd be drafting Wayne Gallman.
I understand.
I think there's going to be opportunity for them there.
I understand.
You can't sit here and tell me about Orleans Darkwa. Corey's right on Paul Perkins. He's a bum. You know, we're already seeing that. Shane Vereen can't be a pure runner.
Wait a minute. Why are you calling Paul Perkins a bum? Because of what? Because of four games you watched last year that Paul Perkins did anything in?
He hasn't done anything.
Four games
and he's having a bad camp now, too.
Wayne Gallman's having a horrible camp.
Wayne Gallman's never played a game in the NFL.
And Paul Perkins has started four of them.
Big whoop.
Exactly. So we have no idea what Paul Perkins is going to be.
Doesn't look like he's going to be much.
Why? How do you know that?
I've watched the guy play.
Have you watched Wayne Gallman?
You make like you're the only guy that watches the Giants.
Have you watched Wayne Gallman play?
No, but you know what? But you know what, though? The Giants drafted this kid for a reason.
Giants drafted Paul Perkins 1 year ago.
And it's not working out already.
It's been four games he started.
If there's one thing about Gallman, the guy can score touchdowns.
How do you know that?
I've watched the tape on him. I've read the scouting reports. I know you think you're the only person that watches the Giants, but that's not true.
I know more about the Giants than you do. That's a fact. That's a fact.
It's your opinion.
No, it's a fact, Scott.
It's an opinion.
Come on.
I live in New York. I read and hear about the Giants all the time.
Come on. It's going to be fair. I know more about the Giants than you do because you are not a Giants fan. That's fine. I'm not criticizing.
I know a lot about the Giants, enough to have an opinion.
Who's the Giants' left tackle, Scott?
Eric Flowers.
Who's their right tackle?
I forgot.
There you
I'd
go.
Have to look it up.
Okay, of course, because you said I'm the Giants fan. So
but I'm talking about
that.
The running back.
That's why you need to know the
Who's
offensive
the Seahawks
line.
Right tackle?
The Seahawks right tackle? Your main defender.
There you
of
go.
Course. Yeah. Of course. Of course you do.
But the right tackle for the Steelers is Alex Villanueva. I just forgot. Okay?
That's true, too.
Yeah. I forgot who it is.
Nobody likes this.
Where did Wayne Gallman go to college?
I don't know.
Exactly. You told me to watch the tape. You told me to watch the tape.
I watched the tape, but I forgot where he went to school.
He played for the national champion Clemson Tigers.
Correct.
I forgot where he went to school. I still watched the tape.
Same team as the Sean
You're just
Watson
basically
and Mike
saying
Williams.
That because you know the Giants
to trust
that
me.
I don't.
No, I'm saying you should trust me on certain things.
No. Why? I can disagree with you.
You can, but when it comes to a guy like Wayne Gallman, you should just
All
trust
the Giants
him.
Running backs are garbage. He has the best profile to score touchdowns there.
No, he does not. The answer
he does. A bruising goal line
y'all
back. That's what he is.
You ought to do a wager on Wayne Gallman's touchdown.
He doesn't bet.
I don't bet.
He doesn't bet.
We're not in Vegas here. And if you're right, I'll tell you you're right.
If you want to look, you
don't have to talk negatively to the gambling community. We're not in Vegas here. You know what I'm saying? And some people don't mind a little side action.
I'm not one of them.
We in this GSC draft on this upcoming weekend. Me and my son, Brian Ambrose, you know what I'm saying? Brian Ambrose, excuse me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Recovering from that torn meniscus.
Shout out to Brian,
now,
my
Now, let me tell you something, Scott. You got two wolves you're going to be wrestling with on the turn.
I don't care about
you better,
you guys.
Let me tell you something, Scott. I'm not going to take it easy
you know,
on you,
you
on
you
Sunday,
know what?
Scott.
You're going to be very disappointed
on
Sunday.
On
you're going to be very upset Sunday.
We are
you know
going
why?
To eat your food on Sunday, Scott.
That's fine.
We're
you know what?
Eat your
you don't have to eat my food. You know what? If I order a burger, I'll buy you one, too. But you know what, Corey? You're going to be very, very. Hey, I bought him chip. I bought him chips
Hell
and a
yeah,
Snickers
did,
last
did,
week.
Did,
okay,
was,
so you be quiet.
Chips and a Snickers.
Yes.
Let's see you fill off that burger.
That's more than you brought him.
Damn right.
He said he was damn hungry, and I came up and got him some. So don't
was,
say that.
That was
now.
That was
as for you, nice Corey, I'm about to school you.
You ain't about to school me.
You need a lot of attention, okay? When I ignore your ass on Sunday, you're going to be very upset.
I'm going to put the pressure on you.
I don't care about you. You are just another face in the room.
I'm going to put the pressure on you.
You're another face in the room.
You have the third pick. I got the fourth pick.
I don't care.
Your team is not going to look good if you want to.
I don't care.
I am going to be in your ear.
So you're thinking more about me than I'm thinking about you.
No, I'm not. No,
you're going to take a play because you know I want him? I'm in your head.
No, I'm not saying that.
Like, oh, man, the king's next to me. I better take his picks.
You tell anybody that wrestled with me on the turn, they come out the draft, it's going to feel like...
Says the guy that started 0-9 in the league last year.
It's going to feel like he was wrestling with a bear when you leave,
the bear
Scott.
Was 0-9 last year.
Donkey Kong.
0-9. Donkey Kong. Boom. He fell off. 0-9.
Scott, was there a pick in the show?
All right, my final statement about the Giants is, yes, you know more about the Giants than me, but I think I know enough to disagree with you.
Sure, but if I disagreed with you on the Seahawks thing, you just crush me. You crush me. You tell me how... Like,
no, maybe not necessarily. I respect your knowledge about football.
I've done it before, and I've done it before, because we argued about, like, scheme, and you're like, listen, I'm telling you, this is what they're going to do. I read it. I go, oh, you know
but
what?
But there's been other you're situations right. with the Giants, though, where you have told me certain things, and I have deferred to you. This is not one of them.
I'm telling you, people have taught, and not just you, when it comes to touchdowns, you look at a bigger back, like a Wayne Gallman out of Clemson, and they just assume he's going to be a touchdown guy. It has not happened for the first 4 weeks of training camp. It's been Orleans Darkwa.
It happened at some point.
Nobody wants
Orleans
to believe
Orleans Darkwa is a bum. Super bum.
Everybody's a bum, according to this guy. We'll be back.
Nope. Russell
Wilson. Get some TV a little bit.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Sports Radio Network going on television in just about 5 minutes from now. Scotty, is there a pick that stood out to you in your Flex League draft, sir? Now, it doesn't have to be your team. It could be any team, really. We called out Azer for a while. We kind of skipped around. Is there any team that stood out to you and be like, man, this was a terrible pick?
This was a terrible pick. I probably have to say the Gillislee selection in round 4.
Call out Azer!
One of them that I wasn't a fan of. I thought Bob Lung getting Tevin Coleman in the 6th round was a very interesting pick for the positive point. I didn't like Chris Vaccaro's selection of Derrick Henry in the 7th round. I thought it was too early. You still had Rob Kelly there. You still had Eddie Lacy, Doug Martin, even Darren McFadden, Terrence West. Probably the Henry pick was the one that I liked the least.
Matt, what did you think of the Derrick Henry pick?
He's going for the upside there. He's going for the guy that he's hoping he gets, you know, a higher percentage of carries this season, maybe some more goal line carries as well. It's Derrick Henry's a guy that I'm torn on. We took him yesterday. If this guy can get more, I just don't know if that's possible this year. I don't think they're going to really veer away from DeMarco Murray. For me, the one pick that stood out, it's just I'm lower than Lamar Miller. I mean, I think I have him 20th. That's in a PPR in the standard. Coach took him on the 2-3 turn. I would have taken Isaiah Crowell. That one stood out to me.
Yeah, I can't believe Corey didn't comment on that pick.
You know, I mean, in PPR, you want to make the argument, but in the standard for me, you know, Crowell is the lead dog in that backfield. Yes, yeah. Miller is right now, but I think Foreman can encringe on him.
Yeah, I think as much as I am a Lamar Miller fan, as I said, I have Crowell, I think, one spot ahead of Lamar Miller. But
does that change for you in like standard? Would that be more of a significant move?
I think in a standard, I would certainly have it. Look, I think in the PPR, I think it's more borderline, maybe. I think you could flip-flop back and forth, because Lamar Miller should catch more passes than Crowell. Duke Johnson being the passing down back, although he's getting most of his work at wide receiver at this point. So it does surprise me in the standard league he went with Lamar Miller. And I love Lamar Miller. You guys know that. So, you know, we'll ultimately we'll see, right? That's all we could say, obviously, about that. Headline I did want to get to before the top of the hour. The Marquise Lee injury officially deemed a high ankle sprain. That was, you know, last like 6 weeks. So we'll see if he's ready for the start of the season. I don't think he will be, which means Allen Hurns will get another shot. Speaking of Allens, Allen Robinson has been falling to the fourth round of drafts here in this non-PPR. He went in the third. I think in your draft, he might have went in the fourth in the Superflex.
I took him in the fourth.
You took him in the fourth. So we'll get to your...
No, actually, I took him in the fifth.
So we'll get to Allen Robinson in a moment when we get to your team and your draft. That's coming up in just about 2 minutes from now. So Allen Robinson's a name I want to talk about here next hour, because he's a name that, Scotty, nobody really wants.
Yeah, I think everybody's hearing more about how they're going to the running game, and they're going to, and because they're going to lean more on the run, they're going to bump Robinson down. They're low on Blake Bortles. But if they have a strong running game, that's going to set up play action for Blake Bortles, and his go-to guy is still going to be Allen Robinson. You know, still very, very pound-for-pound talented guy.
I'm starting to turn my view on Robinson. I was kind of not really... I was kind of pushing him down my board. Now I'm starting to move him up my board.
How come?
I think as much as they want to run the ball, I think they may be, if something's wrong with Fournette's foot, they may be forced to pass it.
Yeah, and let's not forget Allen Robinson, when he came into the league, drew some scouting comparisons to Dez Bryant. He's very talented.
He definitely has talent. We'll talk more about Allen Robinson as we get into Matty Moe's team. That's coming up this hour on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back. Get on TV live right after this.